headlines greeted us this weekend. Former To Catch a Predator host Chris Hansen was himself arrested in Michigan. Authorities there said that he missed a court appearance, all of it stemming from one of those very familiar sting operations in which Hansen, who often asks the ensnared suspect, have a seat. Well, he was ordered to turn over videos of one of his recent police sting operations. There are many, many layers to the story, and fortunately, Chris Hansen himself is here to explain it for me. Hello, Chris Hansen. It's good to have you. What happened? I couldn't believe when I saw the headline, Chris Hansen arrested. You're always the one helping make the arrest.
Well, it was so absurd. And ultimately, Ashley, and thanks for having me, by the way, it was much ado about nothing. We had known that a defense attorney for one of the predators we caught in an investigation wanted raw video. This happens frequently. It's not new to us. We did a series of investigations in Michigan last fall and winter. In one of them, in Shiawassee County, a small kind of ruralish area, you know, bounded by Flint, Saginaw, and Lansing, we saw a Michigan State corrections officer, a prison guard, surfaced in the investigation, a 32-year-old named Michael Lott. He showed up trying to have sex with a young teen girl. He talked to me on camera, essentially confessed, and he was arrested. Sometime later, his attorney subpoenaed me to turn over raw tapes, looking for some sort of exculpatory evidence. I reached out to the law firm and said, look, I have a lawyer in New York who handles these things. Please deal with that lawyer. They went back and forth. Some video was turned over, but apparently not exactly what the defense lawyer wanted. Again, a second occasion, I called the law office and said, look, if there's any concern or mix-up, call my lawyer in New York. So last week, there was a hearing. Now, my lawyer gets an email at 4:30 in the afternoon, the day before the hearing, saying, are you going to be at the hearing tomorrow? And he says, what hearing? Nobody told me of the hearing. So the next morning, he contacts the lawyer, the associate of the main lawyer, who's going to go to court in Shiawassee County in Corunna, Michigan, and says, hey, what's the deal with this hearing today? She says, I can't talk now. I'm going into the hearing. Well, it's that very hearing. And she represents to the judge that they've successfully subpoenaed me for the tapes, that I knew about the hearing, which I did not, and that I willfully did not show up, which just wasn't true. They misrepresented this to the judge. So the judge, not knowing the details of this, and this probably wouldn't have happened in any other jurisdiction in America, the judge, had he known, would have said, we'll get Mr. Hansen on a Zoom call, set a hearing for the next day. He, without this knowledge that we're trying to cooperate, issues a bench warrant, which is what a judge is supposed to do if somebody doesn't comply with a subpoena to show up at a hearing. We get wind of this. The lawyer in New York tries to contact the court. The clerk will not put the call through the judge. We get local counsel who gets involved. And the next day, I flew to Michigan, went to Corunna. Once the judge knew what was going on, the judge said, okay, let's enter a stipulation, withdrew the bench warrant, the arrest warrant, cleared the law enforcement investigation network, and we agreed to a stipulation where everybody gets the video and the evidence that they want in the course of the investigation. It's very simple. Again, Ashley, this wouldn't have happened probably anywhere else, but in this small town, there was a lack of communication. The judge, once informed of the situation, could not have been more helpful, more in tune with what was going on, and it was resolved in 20 minutes. It was a case, quite honestly, where the clickbait headline moved faster and further than the truth, because once we got into court, it was resolved in about 20 minutes, and it only took that long because of a spotty internet signal for people to communicate. So, again, well, it was much ado about
nothing. These are the perils of doing your line of work, Chris. You're always, like, you know, right in the middle of these crazy scenarios. I was reading up another headline where I thought, really? There's somebody called 911 on Chris Hansen? And then I looked into it a little more. You were investigating a YouTube star who's got a couple, you know, aliases. This is Greg Jackson and James Jackson, but I think he goes by, how do you pronounce it? Onision?
Onision. 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 Right. So Onision.
Well, wait, before you tell me, the YouTube star has a whole lot of people alleging that he's, you know, doing naughty things with younger women, and these are allegations only, of course. And you went to investigate to do what a reporter does, like, do you have any comment? Knock, knock, knock. So I want to play the tape of what it looked like when, you know, he's calling the police saying, there's someone harassing me, and there you are on the front doorstep saying, I'm looking for a comment. So hang on, take a look. I want to show our audience.
911, what are you reporting?
Hi, there's a person who's been stalking me online, and they just showed up to my house.
Okay, and they're outside now?
Yes, they're knocking on my door.
Okay, and do you know if they have any weapons?
They have a bunch of camera people, like they're YouTube stalkers.
Okay. But no weapons seen?
I didn't see any weapons. I just saw, like, okay. Six guys in my driveway, okay. And one of them is knocking on my door.
Okay. 1 second here. And the one that's knocking on your door, is he the main one that you said has been stalking you?
Yes. He's a stalker. Okay. He's yelling things at me through the door right now.
Clearly, Chris Hansen didn't have a weapon, except for a camera can be considered a weapon. How did that all play out? Like,
exactly.
How did that end up wrapping up?
We had been investigating this character, Gregory James Jackson, a.k.a. Onision, for several months on my YouTube channel, Have a Seat with Chris Hansen. Ultimately, that story became a series on Discovery Plus, which is out right now, Onision in Real Life. And the allegations were that Onision was sexually abusing, harassing, and involved in a number of other illegal activities, targeting young women who were his fans. He was one of the early YouTubers, made millions of dollars, and his videos were just really dark, very frightening, and the allegations were just horrific, being made by these young women, many of whom talked to me in the YouTube show and talked to us in the Discovery Plus series as well. We decided that we were going to go try to talk to him. We had heard that he was living in one place or another place, and finally we decided to knock on his door, and so I did, and you heard what happened after we knocked on the door. He called 911. He, you know, like a lot of these internet bullies, they don't have the guts to face another human being. They'll prey on somebody who's vulnerable. They'll bully somebody and make outrageous allegations online when they're safe in their basement. But this guy wouldn't come out and answer questions. He wouldn't set up a traditional interview. And he did call 911. The sheriff's department rolls up. And by this time, we had retreated from the property, followed the law by the book. As you know, you've knocked on doors before in your career. And the sheriff rolls up and kind of looks at me and laughs and says, we wondered how long it was going to take before you showed up here. And we had a chat, and I explained what happened. I said, look, we'll stay here until you go talk to him. And they come back out and referred me to the press deputy, and we went on from there. What came out of that door knock, however,
don't tell that story yet, Chris, because I know he sued you, and there's a really weird twist. And after the break, I want you to tell me what happened with Onision's lawsuit against Chris Hansen. So when we come back, Chris is going to explain the second part of that saga. Back in a moment. We are back with Chris Hansen. Chris, you're one of my favorite people because I used to just sit glued watching to you bringing these people in, right? And you'd ask them to have a seat, and I could never figure out why they would, first of all, and then why they would just sit there and talk to you. And I'm sure that's probably the number one question that you get. But I can't ask you about that until you finish the Onision thing. The 911 thing gets resolved, but then he wants to sue you. What happened?
Well, the case went to court. It was frivolous and without merit, and the judge dismissed it. He actually had a process server serve the wrong Chris Hansen in Connecticut, and regardless of that debacle, there was no merit to it. So it was dismissed, and it went away, and we continued our reporting. And because of that door knock, we were able to get, you know, pages and pages and pages of sheriff's reports about other incidents at that home, including an incident where the 2-year-old child of Onision and his spouse fell out of a second-story window and nearly died. And what does Onision do? Not administer first aid. He takes a video on his phone. And as the child is taken to the hospital and is being treated, clinging to life, he's texting inappropriately with underage fans. So this is the kind of guy he is. And there's an investigation, you know, criminal investigation into his activities as
well. Well, I want to see that. I want to see that special. I can't confirm or deny that on this show because I haven't been able to get into those facts myself. So I just have to give that caveat that I don't know that he was texting with underage people at that time inappropriately. But this, you know, for you, it's really not your first brush. I think it was like in February of 2020, there was someone who accused you of harassment, but it's sealed. Like, I can't see what that was all about. Is it related to Catch a Predator or Have a Seat or Predators I've Caught?
No, it was a goofy situation where I had somebody who was working with me for a short period of time who it became quite clear that the person wasn't up to the job and was not a great person all the way around, and I dismissed that person, and that person began a campaign of harassment against me, and he was ultimately prosecuted, charged by the NYPD along with another individual, and was the case is still pending. It went to court, but NYPD arrested him, prosecuted him along with this other fellow. His sister, who's a lawyer, who he told the world on the internet was his lawyer, and if they had any questions about anything, and his litany of bad behavior, illegal behavior goes on and on and on. Anyway, his sister's a lawyer in New Jersey. She goes into a local municipal court and claims that because people who were allegedly followers of mine prank called her office, and that I sent her 5 emails begging her to get her brother help because he was emotionally unstable and had a substance abuse issue. She claims that was some sort of harassment, and it got into the legal system, and we had to deal with it. But it was, you know, again, one of those goofy things where somebody took advantage of a local municipal court and tried to, you know, put leverage on me not to do the right thing.
But is it hard for you? Because I know you're super famous from all of them. I mean, I think it was 21 years with Dateline, and so much of it was To Catch a Predator. It was its own animal. I mean, it wasn't even Dateline. It was its own show. And so when things happen to you personally, is that hard? I know you were struggling with some debt and other big headlines about checks that bounced, et cetera.
Not really.
Is that hard for you to live out loud?
You know, anytime you live in the public eye for 40 years as a journalist, you know, people will pick at you a little bit here and there. And so much of it ends up being a headline that has no story behind it. I'm very comfortable with, you know, my career, the way I live my life. The projects that I continue to do right now, and I have many ongoing and some very new exciting things coming up very soon. But no, I think that's part of being in the public eye, and I think there's a certain level of schadenfreude, perhaps, schadenfreude, however you say it properly, when, you know, the guy who busts people, you know, something like last week happens, which, again, is a non-event. But, you know, you can see your name put in a headline and used as clickbait. And most of this happened hours, if not a day or two, after the entire thing was resolved. So, you know, it's the old Mark Twain saying, you know, a story can get halfway around the world before the truth catches up, you know. But that's part of the
territory,
I think.
Well, speaking of stories, you've got lots of stories that you're telling on YouTube. The Have a Seat with Chris Hansen, love the name, Have a Seat. It's one of those things that's iconic, right? And then also the podcast, Predators I've Caught. Give me a quick rendition of what you talk about on the podcast.
With the podcast, we take a look, actually, at past cases. And what's fascinating to me is that we are able to take the listener inside some of these cases and also see where these fellows are today. And it's been very eye-opening to me to dig back into these cases because so much of it happened in a blink of an eye, or, you know, you're dealing with it as it unfolds in front of you, that to go back and look at it critically and examine what happened and what has happened since then is fascinating material. And I also think that at a time when more kids are online more often, for longer periods of time, it's worthwhile for parents to examine, you know, what they're doing to keep their kids safe. When we started To Catch a Predator 17 years ago, we merely had decoys in chat rooms on AOL and Yahoo. Well, today, you know, we're out there doing predator investigations, more of them, and we're in talks for another television series right now. I can't even keep up with all the social media platforms that predators can use to approach children.
It scares the daylights out of me. It scares the daylights out of me, Chris.
It goes on and on and on, you know? And it's, and it's important to keep the dialogue going.
Well, I'm glad that you had a dialogue with me. I haven't seen you in a couple of years, so it's nice to catch back up.
I know. It's been too long, Ashley.
I know. All right, so let me give a plug to your new show. Have a seat. Oh, thank you, and right back at you, too. Okay, so Have a Seat is available on YouTube, and the episodes of the podcast, Predators I've Caught, are released on Mondays. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, Ashley.